Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As a teacher, my weekends are my sanctuary. They're my time to recharge, plan for the week ahead, and maybe indulge in a little me time. It was a sunny Saturday afternoon, and I was returning to Columbus, Ohio after visiting a friend in a nearby town. I got so caught up chatting over coffee that I totally forgot to fill up the car. And by the time I hit the road, my car's gas gauge was teetering dangerously close to empty. I figured I'd stop at the first station I saw. The station I pulled into looked like something out of a time warp. The paint was peeling, and the pumps were clearly older models. But it was functional, and I wasn't in the mood to be picky. A small convenience store sat adjacent to the pumps, its windows smudged, but letting in enough light to make the interior look relatively clean. To the right of the store, there was a small outdoor seating area, a booth with a few weathered chairs. Sitting there was a man, his figure slouched, but his head upright, watching. At first, I didn't think much of it. Maybe he was just taking a break. But as I stepped out of my car, I noticed something unsettling. He wasn't just sitting. He was staring. His eyes were locked on my car, or maybe me. I brushed it off. Maybe he was waiting for someone, or maybe he wasn't even aware of how intense his gaze looked. Still, I felt a prickle of unease as I approached the pump and started filling my tank. The sun was warm on my back, and the hum of the gas pump filled the air, but it was impossible to shake the feeling of being watched. Every time I looked toward the booth, the man's eyes were still on me. He didn't even pretend to look away. I told myself to stay calm. Maybe he was just bored, or maybe he had a habit of staring. Either way, I decided I wouldn't stick around any longer than necessary. As the pump clicked to signal the tank was full, I capped it off and headed toward the convenience store to pay. The man was still watching, his gaze following me as I walked past the booth. I kept my head high and avoided eye contact, hoping to project confidence even though my stomach churned with unease. The lighting in the store was low, but it was clean, with the subtle smell of coffee and cleaning supplies in the air. A young attendant stood behind the counter, scrolling on his phone. He barely looked up as I walked in, muttering a half-hearted, "Hey!" I handed him my card, eager to finish the transaction and leave. As I waited for the receipt, the door behind me chimed. My breath caught. The man from the booth had entered. His boots echoed against the tile floor as he approached the counter, stopping just a few feet away from me. I could feel his presence like a weight on my shoulders. "Hi," he said, low and gravelly. "You driving that blue hatchback out there?" "Yeah." "Why?" "Nice car," he said, his lips curling into a thin smile. "Reliable?" Yeah, it gets me where I need to go," I replied, keeping it polite but distant. "You traveling alone?" he asked casually, but the question hit me like a slap. My mind raced. "No, my boyfriend's in the car. He's just on a call." The man's smile didn't falter. "That's so?" "Yep," I said quickly, grabbing my card and receipt. "Have a good day." I turned and walked toward the door, my heart racing in my chest. As I stepped outside, I resisted the urge to look back, focusing instead on reaching my car. I climbed in, locked the doors, and started the engine. In my rearview mirror, I saw the man exit the store and return to the booth. He sat down, his eyes still fixed on me. I pulled out of the gas station and onto the highway, relieved to be putting distance between myself and that unnerving encounter. But as the miles stretched on, I noticed headlights in my rearview mirror. A pickup truck. It was far enough back that I couldn't see the driver, but something about it felt wrong. When I changed lanes, so did the truck. When I sped up, it matched my pace. My unease turned to panic. This wasn't a coincidence. The man was following me. The highway was eerily empty, with no exits in sight. I gripped the wheel tightly, trying to stay calm. Up ahead, I spotted a rest area. It wasn't much, just a small lot with a few picnic tables and vending machines, but it was well lit and had a couple of cars parked there. I decided to take my chances. I signaled and pulled into the lot, parking near a family sitting at one of the tables. The pickup truck pulled into the lot, rolling to a stop just a few feet from my car. I felt a sickening churn in my stomach as I watched the man get out. He hesitated for a moment, his eyes locking on me as I stood by the family. Without a word, he headed toward the restroom, his eyes hanging on me just enough to unsettle me. I turned to the family and explained what had happened. They were kind, their concern evident as they invited me to sit with them. "You're safe here," the father said, reassuring me. "We won't let anything happen to you." I stayed close to them, grateful for their company as we made small talk, their warmth soothing the chill of my anxiety.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A few minutes later, the man emerged from the restroom. He looked in my direction. His unreadable eyes met mine for a moment before he turned and walked to his pickup. He climbed in, and for what felt like hours, he just sat there. My pulse quickened as I waited to see what he'd do. Finally, he pulled out of the lot and disappeared down the highway. The family stayed with me until I felt safe enough to get back on the road. It was their kindness that anchored me during what had been one of the most unnerving nights of my life. After about 20 minutes, I got back in my car and resumed my drive. Every set of headlights behind me made my pulse quicken, and every passing car felt like a potential threat. When I finally pulled into my driveway, I locked all the doors and windows and sat in my living room, trying to process what had happened. The man's face and the truck's headlights haunted me that night. What were his intentions? Was he just trying to scare me, or was it something worse? I'll never know for sure. And while I'm grateful I got away unscathed, I've learned that sometimes danger is closer than you think. I've always enjoyed road trips. As a librarian, I spend a lot of my time indoors, surrounded by books and quiet. And there's nothing quite like the freedom of cruising the open road with a playlist of my favorite songs and no set agenda. That day, I decided to take a solo trip through North Carolina. I'd heard Asheville was a must-see, so I mapped out my route, packed some snacks, and hit the highway. It was around 8 p.m. when I realized I needed a break. I'd been driving for hours and hadn't seen much besides trees and winding roads. When I spotted a gas station sign ahead, I decided it was time to stretch my legs and use the restroom. The place wasn't much, a small, worn-out building with a single pump out front. But it was open, and that was all that mattered. I pulled into the lot, noticing how deserted it was. There were no other cars, just my little hatchback and the faint glow of a flickering neon open sign. The building looked older, with peeling paint and a cracked window near the entrance. The restroom was around the side, marked by a rusted sign that read "Ladies." I grabbed my bag, locked my car, and headed toward it. The restroom door creaked as I pushed it open, and I was greeted by the harsh buzz of a fluorescent light overhead. It wasn't the cleanest place, but I'd seen worse on road trips. There were two stalls and a single sink with a cloudy mirror above it. I chose the cleaner-looking stall, set my bag on the hook, and locked the door behind me. As I sat there, I couldn't help but notice how quiet it was. The kind of silence that feels unnatural, like the calm before a storm when everything seems to halt. I figured it wasn't worth worrying about, telling myself I'd spent too much time reading thrillers. But then I heard a faint creak, like someone stepping on the linoleum floor. I froze, listening closely. The sound came again, followed by the soft shuffle of footsteps. Someone had entered the restroom. I looked at the gap beneath the stall door, expecting to see feet, but there was nothing. Then, the footsteps stopped right in front of my stall. My breath caught as I watched the shadow shift, and the stall door rattled as if someone was testing the lock. "Occupied," I said, my voice shaky. Whoever it was didn't respond. The shadow lingered for a moment, then moved away. I stayed perfectly still, waiting to hear the sound of the door opening and closing, signaling they had left. But it never came. The silence returned, heavier than before. Gathering my courage, I flushed and unlatched the door. The restroom was empty. I checked both stalls, nothing. The only exit was the door I had entered through. A chill ran through me, but I told myself it was nothing. Maybe whoever it was had left quietly. I washed my hands quickly, avoiding my reflection in the mirror. The weak light overhead made everything feel surreal, like a scene out of a bad horror movie. Grabbing my bag, I pushed the door open and stepped outside. That's when I saw him. A man was leaning against my car, pretending to check his phone. He was tall, with a scruffy beard and low cap, adding to his mysterious vibe. Something about the way he looked up at me sent a jolt of unease through my chest. He hadn't been there when I arrived. "Can I help you?" He looked up, his expression unreadable. "Just waiting for a friend," he said. I didn't respond. Instead, I walked toward my car, keeping a safe distance. My keys were in my hand, and I gripped them tightly, the jagged edges pressing into my palm. But as I got closer, my stomach dropped. He wasn't moving. He was casually leaning against the driver's side door, effectively blocking my way. "Hey," his voice casual, too casual for someone I didn't know. "In a hurry?" I forced a small, polite smile, even as my pulse quickened. "Excuse me, I need to get to my car," I said, keeping my voice firm. He didn't budge. Instead, he tilted his head, giving me an unsettling grin. "You look like you've had a long day. Maybe you should take a break before hitting the road. It's not safe out there, you know?" I didn't answer. My mind was racing, searching for an out. The parking lot was still empty, no witnesses, no backup. "I really need to go," I said again, this time more forcefully. I stepped closer, hoping he'd take the hint and move. He didn't. Instead, he pushed off the car slightly, closing the distance between us. "Relax," he said, his voice low and unnervingly calm. "I just want to talk. No need to be rude." At that moment, I knew I had to act. I wasn't going to win a standoff with this guy, not alone in an empty lot. I took a deep breath, mustered all the confidence I could, and stepped toward him with a firm, authoritative tone. "Move," I demanded, trying to project strength I didn't entirely feel. The sudden assertiveness seemed to catch him off guard, and he shifted back slightly, his grip on the situation faltering. I seized the opportunity and quickly darted around him, wrenching the passenger side door open and scrambling inside. Immediately locking the doors with shaking hands, I slid into the driver's seat and started the engine. The man banged on the window, his face twisted with anger. "You didn't have to do that," he yelled, his voice muffled through the glass. He slapped the window once, hard, before backing away. For a split second, I thought he might leave. Then he turned and stormed toward a car parked a few spaces away. My heart sank as he climbed in and started it, the headlights lighting up the darkness. He wasn't done. I threw the car into gear and tore out of the lot, the man's car following close behind. The road stretched out ahead, dark and empty. His headlights loomed in my rearview mirror, uncomfortably close. I knew I couldn't let him follow me to a secluded area. Or worse, home. Every fiber of my being urged me to keep going, to find help. I remembered something my mom used to say, "If you're in trouble, find the lights." I scanned the road ahead, praying for a diner, a gas station, anything. Finally, I spotted a well-lit truck stop up ahead. It was small but crowded, with several big rigs parked in the lot. I swerved into the entrance, my tires screeching as I pulled up near the front door. The man's car slowed as he approached the lot, but he didn't follow me in. Instead, he lingered just outside the entrance. I bolted out of the car and into the building, the adrenaline making my legs feel like jelly. Inside, the cashier and a few truckers turned to look at me as I rushed in. "There's a man following me," I blurted out. "He's outside in a silver sedan." One of the truckers, a burly guy in a flannel jacket, nodded and stood up. "Stay here," he said, walking toward the door. Another trucker followed, their presence making me feel a shred of safety I hadn't felt all night. I stayed near the counter, my eyes glued to the parking lot. The man's car lingered for a few moments longer before his headlights finally swung away, disappearing into the night. The truckers returned a few minutes later, confirming he was gone. "If he comes back, we'll handle it," the first one said gruffly. I thanked them profusely, my voice trembling. I stayed at the truck stop for over an hour, nursing a lukewarm cup of coffee as I tried to steady my nerves. When I finally felt safe enough to leave, I called a friend and stayed on the phone the entire drive home. The next day, I reported the incident to the police, but without a license plate number or a detailed description of the man, there wasn't much they could do. Still, I walked away from the experience with a powerful realization. Fear is unavoidable in moments like that, but how you respond to it can make all the difference. That night changed the way I see myself more than anything else. Gas stations, rest stops, and empty parking lots, they're still unsettling, but I've learned the value of acting despite fear. Freezing or being intimidated isn't an option when your safety is on the line. It's not about being fearless. It's about refusing to let fear dictate your actions. Road trips feel different now, but not because I'm scared. They're a reminder of what I'm capable of, even in the most unsettling situations. And if there's one thing I've learned, it's this. Being prepared to stand your ground, even when your hands are shaking, can make all the difference in keeping yourself safe.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.